And we're in. Welcome back into the Trail Count Podcast on a Monday night, a Monday evening. It is the handsome heel yourself, Trail, here live again with my boy Jules Bell in the building. And how you doing out there, man?
Doing good. It's been another interesting day with my favorite people at TKF.
Well, man, I was gonna open up with the Raw review, which we are gonna review on Raw tonight. But there's been some developing happenings going on, so I've changed the flow of the show tonight with the fact your boy MVP out there with AEW. He's been saying some interesting things online, pretty much over the weekend into today. I know a couple days ago I saw a couple articles about him speaking poorly about Papa H, Triple H, the game, saying that he's got this beef with Triple H. Now, I'm gonna say this. I don't know. So first of all, I think I saw something else where he's saying that he's gonna explain, what his issue is with Triple H on his podcast. Like, there's a full story about that. I didn't know he had a podcast, but I plan on actually I do plan on actually listening to his podcast. You know what I mean? Because I want to hear this story. I want to know like what his hate is for Triple H. Like, what happened? And if it's a valid crash out, like, hey, as the kids say, if it's a valid crash out, like I'm here to take it. You know what I mean? But until then, I just find it very childish, things that he's saying about Triple H. And then on top of that, then tonight there was another article that came out. Now, you know me, I'm all over Instagram. I'm always commenting on the pro wrestling websites. So I just figured like it was just another, stupid ass website ran by some punk in his mom's basement or something. But then, what ends up happening is I comment, I wrote, I wrote a decent paragraph. I said what I said. I said some things that might have hit a chord there. So anyways, obviously, pretty much it was about MVP talking about the ticket prices, right? Which this whole subject about ticket prices, bro, has been extremely exhausting. I mean, it's almost like every podcast we're talking about these stupid ass these fans and these ticket prices, bro. And then what pissed me off is obviously, those of us that actually do, invest into the company and the product and actually do go to these shows, we know better, right? And it's like we're fighting this battle against the haters and then certain people who just have all this shit to say, right? And then it doesn't help. It's one thing when you got, just regular people, like just, stupid ass or so-called fans, because honestly, in my opinion, they aren't real fans. To be honest, you know what I mean? To me, you know what I mean? But I got somebody saying something. Who is this? I gotta see who that is later. Anyway, so people are commenting and saying stuff. But anyways, like I was saying, but yeah, so he's saying all this stuff or whatever about the ticket prices. So I'm like, now it's one thing, we're fighting against people, just saying stupid stuff, but then you have the wrestlers. When you have somebody with his audience and his platform also pushing, that bullshit ass narrative, that just pissed me off. You know what I mean? Like I feel like, had he stayed with WWE, had they gave him what he wanted, like let's not forget, right? Like this whole thing started, like, I mean, he's came out when he got released, like him and Lashley and all those guys, Shelton Benjamin, everybody. They got released or whatever, and so basically, because of the fact, I mean, they got released, right? So then we know the story came out that MVP, before they got released, he was pushing to get, a better storyline for what was then, what is now known in AEW as the Hurt Syndicate, now known as I'm sorry, what was then known as the Hurt Business, right? All these stupid ass names, anyway, whatever. But same shit, whatever, dude. Like, so what was known as the Hurt Business is now the Hurt Syndicate, right? So, you know, wanting to get a better storyline for those guys, right? So they get released or whatever, or don't renew their contract or whatever, because I don't want people coming trying to correct me. So whatever, the whole point, they left because they couldn't get what they want from Triple H or WWE or creative or whatever the case is, right? All right, so then you go over to AEW. Now, I'm not gonna lie, they've been decently entertaining on AEW. Like, I've had no beef with their angle over there. But my beef is, okay, you guys left, you got what you wanted from, you know, from daddy Tony Khan or whatever, or Cokehead Tony. You know what I mean? That's what I call him, as a joke. You know, I call him a Cokehead Tony, whatever. But you know, but you got what you wanted from him. And then you're still not satisfied. Like them and Ricochet. And I'm not going to say them, because I really haven't heard Bobby Lashley or Shelton Benjamin saying too much, but MVP and like Ricochet and like one other person I can't remember, like they're always in the news making these little jabs. It's like WWE and TKO live rent-free in their minds, right? And it's just ridiculous. And again, like I said, I'm going to listen into his podcast to see, you know, I definitely want to hear the Triple H story. You know what I mean? I definitely want to hear it. I'm open to that, right? And I'm man enough to come back on this show, and hell, I'm man enough to come back on this show and apologize. I am, right? If it's a valid story, it's like, hey, you know what, I could see, you know, why he's upset or holding a grudge or whatever, hey, let's go for it, right? But for right now, it just seems like you're a hater, like you're a bitter. And yeah, I'm talking to you, Montavious. I'm talking to you, baby. You know what I mean? I'm talking right to you. Like, you sound bitter. You sound like a bitter ex that won't let go. What you sound like, a bitter ex who just won't, you know, you're still holding on to the text messages. You still got the photos from that first Valentine's Day date. You know what I mean? You won't let it go. You won't let it go. So, I mean, just always yapping about whatever. And then he's saying that TKO doesn't care about the family, like, oh, well, back in the day. I mean, the same stuff you've been hearing from the fans, or, you know, back in the day, ticket prices were affordable. A family of four could go for XYZ dollars. Now they can't go for this. And then he's got the audacity to come out and say that, oh, AEW cares more because our prices, first of all, let me stop you right there. That's what, because it's the audacity for me, right? Because I'm like, first of all, what's funny to me, right? People are talking, like, even with this ESPN deal, right? Oh, everybody's just about to jump off a bridge over a $30 bundle, right? But you're getting $30 a month. You're getting Hulu, Disney, and you're getting the ESPN Unlimited and all this access to all this content. Plus, you're getting all of the WWE live special events every month, right? With all of that, right? And so, and of course, depending on what sports you're into, you're getting access to all that good stuff too, right? So then my thing is, nobody's talking about how, meanwhile, over on HBO Max, you have AEW that's still charging $40 per pay-per-view. These fools still got pay-per-views. Okay? So let's go back. I know some of y'all are slow and I talk a little fast. So let's go back. Let's go back, okay? Because let's go back. So on the $30 a month, you know, TKO deal, you're getting Hulu, Disney, and you're getting ESPN Unlimited for 30 bucks a month, and you're getting the WWE PLEs. You're getting every one. So next month, like this month, we got Wrestlepalooza. We got next month, you're getting Crown Jewel from Perth, Australia. And then, of course, you get everything else that comes with it. Your Royal Rumbles, your Survivor Series, your WrestleManias, both of those nights. You're getting all of that, right? So for $30 a month, plus you're getting unlimited access to the ESPN and Disney and all those other apps you were already using. Now let's go back over to HBO Max, okay? And to Cokehead Tony's offer, which is, oh, yeah, you get HBO Max. Okay, whatever. I was already paying for that anyways. Oh, but if you want to watch one AEW pay-per-view, it's $40. WWE is not even doing pay-per-views. They're doing premium live events which have been intertwined into a $30 a month deal where you get unlimited access versus a $40 pay-per-view. Listen to these key words that I'm giving you, because this is a pay-per-view, right? But nobody's talking about that. Like, AEW is stuck in 1998 with $40 pay-per-views. But nobody's talking about that. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So you know what I'm saying? And that $40 only gets you the access to that four or 8 hour unnecessary ass long marathon pay-per-view where you have like 20 matches for no reason at all, by the way, right? But I mean, whatever, right? But nobody's talking about that. Nobody's talking about that. So to me, that's crazy. So if we're gonna try to bash TKO for this bundle or whatever that you guys don't like, then let's talk about AEW and the $40 per pay-per-view, okay, that they're charging every time. And mind you now, that's $40 for the pay-per-view. And then I think it's like, because I also have HBO Max. I think, how much is HBO Max? It's like, what is it, $20? I don't know, what is it? What is it? Like, I don't know, like 15, $20. My whole point is, let's say it's like $20 a month, right? Let's say it's like $20 a month. So now $20 a month, you're already paying for the app. Then you're having to pay for content inside the app being the AEW pay-per-view. So you just paid $60. So basically every time it happens, you know, which I think they run a pay-per-view every month. I mean, damn near. So you're basically, you might as well go ahead and say you're paying $60 a month for access to the Max app and to the AEW pay-per-view. That's every month. So you guys are bitching about that, which is double the price at this point of the TKO bundle. So to me, that's crazy. Now, the only thing that I will support them on is, even though this was just, you know, their little, you know, their little one moment in the sun to be right. And as the old people say, you know, even however the saying goes, what, how's it go? A broken clock is right what?
Right.
Right? It's like what, twice a day or whatever?
Twice a day.
Right, or something like that, right? So, you know what I mean? So, okay, they get their little one moment in the sun where they can talk shit, where they can say, hey, you know, AEW All Out was better than WrestlePalooza. And I'll go ahead and I'll say that it was. It was. And if you go back to my episode from what was it, Sunday night or whatever, if you go back to my episode or whatever we did, and you can see clearly I admitted to that. I admitted to that. It was like Saturday night. It was Saturday night. We did a show Saturday night. And it's still on my page, and you can go on Spotify or wherever podcast are streamed, and you can go back and listen or watch that show. And I admit it. I opened that show up. I tore TKO a brand new asshole. I said, hey, you know, it sucked. You guys disappointed ESPN, disappointed the fans. You made all of us look stupid. I said all of that. So I got no problem jumping on TKO when they're wrong, you know, or whatever. When it comes to these ticket prices, it's like I've been saying, you know, I'm not going to keep repeating myself. It's like, it's either you got it or you don't. And that may sound very ignorant or whatever the case is. That's just life. That's just what it is, right? Like, there are things that you're not going to be able to afford. There's things that I can't afford, right? Like, or maybe, like, you don't find, and it's not always about affording something, right? It comes down to the point of, you know, how big of a fan are you? Do you find this interesting enough, or are you willing to invest this much money into a product? And if that answer is no, then that's fine. But let's just call a spade and call it what it is. You're just not that big of a fan as you thought you were or claimed to be. And that's like not trying to gaslight anyone. That's just calling it what it is. Like me, there are certain things that I'm interested in, like football, a perfect example, right? Football. I watch football. You know, I'm a Patriots fan. My family are Patriot fans, right? But I will say, like, my dad and like my cousins, everybody, they're much bigger, like super Patriot fans like than I am, right? Like, they'll probably cash out, like, big dollars. I'm talking to, like, go to Boston and go to a game, right? I probably wouldn't do that. I might do that one day. I could if I wanted, but that's not a priority to me. Like, I'll cash out, like, you know, like, going to a Saudi Arabia, which I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to cash out. I'm going to go to Saudi Arabia to WrestleMania. I'll invest that amount of money because that is my level of interest and level of fandom, right? Versus I probably wouldn't rush to go, you know, to a Patriots game and spend a ton of money. Or if I go to a Patriots game, I'd probably get a nosebleed seat just to say that I was in the building, because I'm just not that into football enough to invest that much money, you know? And that's cool. So if it's vice versa for you, if it's, hey, you know what? I enjoy watching pro wrestling, but I'm not a big super fan to go spend like, you know, for a WrestleMania night one, like $700-800 for a ticket per night or whatever the case is. Cool. Good for you. But then you don't get to come online and make that the fault of TKO. Or if you are that big of a fan, right? And then you're like one of those guys where it's like, oh, well, I remember when I was able to afford to go to a show and I only paid $100 to sit in the front row. And then, by the way, if you ever paid $100, first of all, you're a liar, first of all. But if you ever paid, if you ever did pay $100 to sit in the front row, you were at a house show. And even at a house show, that had to be like back in the day. And then if you did go to like an actual like premium event, that had to been still like you're probably almost like 70 years old or some shit. Like you're like a senior citizen at this point. You're talking about some shit. And I've seen the people comment, like one guy was like, oh yeah, I haven't been to a show since like 1991. And it's like, dude, like, are you serious? Like, you know what I mean? Like I mean, some of this should be common sense. Like time has changed, like the economy has changed. I mean, you know, and I'm not going to get into politics or whatever like that. You can say it's for the worse or for the best or whatever you want to say. I just feel like that's without anything, right? If these people could afford these tickets, they wouldn't be online. Like me, I can't afford these tickets. So you aren't going to see me online bitching about anything because it doesn't matter to me because I can do it. So I don't really care. You know what I mean? Because I'm that big of a fan, I'm willing to invest whatever it takes to continue being a fan, to continue consuming the product, because I am that big of a fan. And it's definitely levels to this. You have like your casuals, you have your super fans. I consider myself to be a super fan. You know what I mean? Like me and you, man, like we're at WrestleMania. I mean, dude, you've been to more WrestleManias than me. You know what I mean? But you know, we're at Mania damn near every year. You know what I mean? Like we're at, like, it doesn't matter.
Whereas, you know, I've been to, what, over 15 WrestleManias.
Yeah, it's crazy, yeah.
This coming year, actually, like 15 WrestleManias. But I started at 26. So this is when, of course, TKO wasn't even thought about. They wasn't even remotely close to even taking over the company. So I've seen the dramatic price increase. So like that WrestleMania, like 26, I think the tickets at that time were, I want to say, $60. So, and that was like for nosebleed. So $60 was your regular price. Now today, as of tomorrow, the price is $854.
Yeah, right.
You can see the dramatic shift and you can see the dramatic change in ticket price. So, you know, I knew it was gonna get to this point. Somewhere down the line, I mean, even if Vince was in charge, I think he would at some point he would have had to go up on the price of the ticket. Just because of where we are. You know, where we're at in the economy. So, yeah, we're going to have to, the people got to learn that we're going to have to deal with it. And like I've been telling people, I say, hey, look, this saves out. You have a whole entire year to save out. Like, WrestleMania ain't until April. And matter of fact, it's towards the end of April. So you really have that extra time to really save what you want to save out. So, yeah, you just going to have to go with the flow and just make do. You want to really go to, you really want to go to this year's show.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, that was the key thing there. You just said, like, this thing, you know it's going to happen. It's not a surprise, right? It's WrestleMania. It happens every year, like the Super Bowl. It happens every year, right? Like anything else. It's not like, oh, there it goes again. It snuck up on me. Like, no. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, you know, you have a whole year. And it's like, Yeah.
Like football, with the Super Bowl, for example, and like 1997, I think the ticket prices were like, I want to say it was like maybe $300 to $400, and that was back then. That was like nosebleed.
Yeah, now you got to have big bands. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, last Super Bowl. Like, and again, I'm not a super big, like super crazy diehard NFL fan, but I watch the games. Like, you know, I have a team that I represent, right? But I'm not like, and so I'm not gonna lie, like, you know, and let's not act like you guys seen my page. You guys, if you know me as a person, I like to flex a little bit, right? So I was like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna pull up to the Super Bowl, you know, or whatever. Let me tell you something, man. I pulled up that seat map. I was like, oh no. I'm gonna pull up to my couch, you know what I mean? Because, you know, but then again, you didn't see me on Get On Ben. I didn't proceed to get online, and I didn't go to the NFL fan page, or I didn't go to some stupid, you know, other news page and start bitching in the comments about how, you know, the NFL and Roger Goodell and everybody is just so evil, and, you know, they ruined my life, and then I can't take my family of five that I claim to have. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't see me doing any of that. Like, I was like, okay, hey, you know what? This is out of my price range. You know, I got to get my bands up. You know, this is for those big ballers. You know what I mean? So I got to be a big baller one day. When I come back, I can go to Super Bowl. You know what I mean? That's what it is, right? And and that's the same thing. So it's like, hey, we'll be here all night. If we try to break down the eaches and everybody's personal financial situation, which I'm not a pocket watcher, right? I'm not here to, that's none of my concern, what money you make or what situation that you may be in, that's none of my concern. But I will say this, I mean, even some of these comments, right? Like, I get it, like, some people like are pulling up, and first of all, you can tell who doesn't go to these shows all the time, because some people will be in the comments and they'll say, oh well, it's like $20K for a ticket. Like, first of all, those prices, even if you did see something in that price range, that's definitely like front row, like, you know, where your celebrities are going to be sitting anyways, or like, you know, the VIP suites, you know, and there's even a process to even get those tickets, even if you could afford them, right? That's not even for the average fans or whatever. Like, you know, you can get, like, I want to say, I mean, you already know, I don't got to tell you, but, like, you know, at WrestleMania, on average, man, we spend per night anywhere between 500 to what, maybe 800, like, you know, per night. Which is pretty, you know, I mean, that's just the range. Like, if you want a good seat, and then even if you want to go cheap, which, I mean, I'm not going to do that, but even if you want to say, hey, you know what, you know, I'm going to go nosebleeds, you can get into the nosebleeds at WrestleMania for like 150, like 200, 300. You actually can. You know what I mean? You can actually, I would say you could go two nights, and this is in nosebleeds. You could go two nights for between, you know, five or six for both nights combined, which is pretty damn good. You know, now I'm not going to do that. Like, I don't recommend, you know, zero out of 10. Do not recommend that you sit in the, nosebleeds in a damn football stadium, because you're going to need some fucking binoculars to watch the talent. But if you just want to be like, hey, I'm in the building, hey, you know, and watch the screen or whatever, cool, good for you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's still better than the next person who didn't even go. So whatever. But for me, if I spend my time to go to this event, I'm going to get some good ass seats. I mean, that's just what it is, or I'm not going to go at all, right? If I can't get good seats. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Now, granted, for all of you who don't know, I'm in the military, right? So I'm not going to lie. So the military does, because somebody attacked me on, actually, well, I'm not going to say attacked, because I did offer the option. And the other show on Saturday, I said, hey, if you guys had any questions for me about anything, to DM me. I got a lot of feedback, which I don't have time to go through all those questions. But periodically, each show, we're going to close out the show with me answering a couple questions that did come through my DMs. But anyways, one of them, actually, I guess we're doing one now, because one of them was like, hey, don't you military guys get free tickets to the show? Now, yes and no. And the reason I say yes and no is because I think people think that we just get, you know, all these unlimited tickets and it's crazy. Like, it's not like that, right? So first of all, with the military, how it works with tickets, okay, is, first of all, if you even want to attempt to get one of these tickets, you must go, you must wait till the day of the show. And then you go to the box office in person once they open. And then you can go there and you can show, obviously, your military ID. And then you ask them, like, hey, what do you have left? And then based on what they have left, they give you one ticket. They don't give you two. They give you one ticket per military ID, right? So if you want to go with your buddy who's also in the military, then both of you guys can come together and show your IDs and get tickets together. And then obviously, like, if you're with your girl or your wife or something like that, then you would just you would get the military ticket for free, and they would try to find a second seat that's right next to that seat, and then you'd have to pay full price for the second ticket for your wife or your girlfriend. That's how that works. And then on top of that, right, on top of that, there is, it's just, it depends on the show, it depends on the venue, because sometimes, well, they only choose a certain amount of seats to give out, right? And then a lot, so sometimes I've went to shows where, like, they don't have any military seats. It's either you're buying a ticket or you aren't going. That's what it is, right? And then even when they have the seats, right, a lot of times they aren't, I mean, for my liking, they aren't that good of seats. They'll put you in a nosebleed, or they'll put you in like the high 200 level or whatever. Now, with that being said, depending on what type of venue it is, if it's like a Raw or a SmackDown, because, dude, I want to say I go to Raw or SmackDown. I mean, you already know I go to Raw or SmackDown combined. I probably go to at least two Raws a year or like two SmackDowns a year minimum, right? I'm always like, whatever, right? So I don't care that much. Like, if I just want to go, just to go, which usually that's what it is for me. If it's not a big PLE show, I'm like, whatever. Because for the big PLE shows, I buy my ticket. Like Survivor Series San Diego, November, I'm buying my ticket. I'm not going to roll up there like, oh, what do you got? Now, for the other shows that weekend, like the NXT show before that weekend, I may pull up and see what they got. And then like SmackDown, I may see like what they got. But like Survivor Series, I'm buying my ticket, like, period. It's done, right? Way before. But anyway, what I was going to say about what they do is, like, so a lot of times they don't give you that good of seats. I can count on one hand how many times they've really given me like good ass seats. I remember one SmackDown where I went and they gave me a seat on the floor that was like right by the stage. That was a badass seat. Like, that was totally boss. Like, on the back, on the last back row, but it was like right by the stage. So I was like right there. I could even see all the extra shit going on, like a little backstage stuff and the workers doing a little stuff. So that was cool, right? And the talent would leave the ring and then go walking right by me. So I was like dapping everybody up. That was pretty badass. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. But I'm not going to lie. Like, I went to this year, I went to AEW Revolution, and they gave me a ticket, which was not that bad. It was in the lower 100s. So they hooked me up with that one. That was pretty decent, not going to lie. You know, so there I go, giving Cokehead Tony a little credit. You know what I mean? you know what I mean? So it was okay. But with that, that's how that works. It's not like we're getting a bunch of unlimited ass tickets, like in the front row every time or some shit, like people think. It doesn't work that way. So there are times, and then what happens is, if I get a shitty ticket that I don't want, like, I give it away to some kid outside the arena. You know, it's always like teenagers hanging out. You know what I mean? I'll make somebody's day and be like, hey man, here goes a free ticket. Go enjoy the show. And then I'll buy my own ticket that I want, like from the box office, or I'll do it online or whatever. And I'll still go to the show, but I'll buy my way in. So a lot of times I've done that so many times, but I'll still wait it out to see, you know, just to see, like, you know, you never know, because I might strike gold and get something nice and then I for free, you know what I mean? So, so that's how that works. So I want to put that to bed, that y'all think the military is getting all these crazy ass seats, because we're not, you know what I mean? But they do offer at times free tickets, like I said, with all these rules and limitations attached to it. Okay. So that, just to explain that. But yeah, so, and then so, final piece here on the MVP thing, man. So I got no beef with MVP, right? And so what I was going to say is that I noticed that I think MVP was on the page, actually, because I didn't know. No, and I'm not going to say why I know that, because I'm not going to, like, put too much information out there, which you already saw what I sent you in the group chat, but I'm not going to mention it. But And he may even see this. Actually, I'm going to tag him on this pod, right? So, like, I don't have beef with MVP. I'm not, like, an AEW hater or whatever. Whatever. Like, obviously, I'm a pro WWE guy, like, through and through, right? And, yeah, I'm going to defend them a little bit. But, again, like I said, when they're wrong, you know? So, but with this one, it's like, what can you do? It's business, right? We knew, like, this was going to change when the company went public. And then when TKO bought the company. It's like with any business, you know, and it's like you said earlier, like if Vince McMahon was still there, people are like, oh, you know, Vince wouldn't have did all this. And then what's crazy to me with that, right? They're saying all this Vince. Now everybody's so pro Vince McMahon. I guess we're forgetting that he's like really not that good of a person. Like, I mean, we've seen and what's been proven the stuff that he did. And then you guys can say that the only reason that I think her name was Janelle Grant, whatever. The only reason that she came out is because she stopped getting paid, whatever. Okay, but even besides her story, listen to everybody else that's coming out saying all this stuff about Vince. Everybody's not a liar, but then you guys are ignoring all of this. And you know, every time you don't get the exact booking on a Raw or a SmackDown or a pay per view or a PLE, I'm sorry, PLE or whatever. Or you don't get what you want, or price wise with TKO, then now all of a sudden Vince is some saint who was so much better. When, you know, I mean, that's crazy to me. Like he's a whole like badass person. Like, you know what I mean? But people are willing to like just overlook these real life issues that he's had, you know, over some ticket prices, over a couple of bucks. You know what I mean? Which, you know, you guys would not be saying that if TKO had cheap prices, then everybody would still be hanging Vince on the cross. Right. You know what I mean? But now that TKO is charging more, now all of a sudden Vince is like this saint and this. It's crazy how fickle these fans are, bro. It's funny as shit. You know what I mean?
Have him back just because he was so family oriented with the tickets and the prices and everything, and they were affordable and stuff like that. So that's the only reason why they won't come back in the company, so they can have them tickets basically lower. So yeah, and the thing, and I'll say the thing about MVP real quick. I mean, MVP, he always been a good dude and everything like that. His issue, I feel, with WWE, Triple H, I think, it really, like you said, I think it stems from, of course, when the Hurt Business, they really wanted to keep that thing going in WWE, and then the thing got split up by, you know, making Vince and stuff like that, and they really didn't have a lot of leeway or say in the matter, because they wanted, I think it was Shelton Benjamin, I believe, he wanted to, and of course Bobby Lashley, he wanted, those guys wanted to really keep it going, and so he had asked, you know, office, front office, it was like, hey, can we keep it going? Vince was like, no, we're not going, we're not going. Yeah, but they did. They ended the story, and you know that's when the frustration began. Is this with Triple H? I really don't, like you said, I don't know where it stems from. You can't really say, you know, he doesn't push the African-American stars. We can't say that because he didn't push Bianca to the moon. He started to push Jade Cargill a little.
Which she's still working on the in-ring, you know, stuff too. Right.
He's working on the in-ring stuff. So we really can't say that he disowning, you know, the African American community and
wrestling. Right, and that's a whole different topic. You know what I mean? That's just like, it is so much, but it's like, And it's like, and the thing is, what's funny to me is that even if he was still there, people are like, oh, if he was still there, dude, if he was still there, he involved in this company, he would, it might even be worse, because Vince McMahon has always been about himself and about making money. Like, if he could have found a way, even back when he was there, if he could have found a way to make this kind of money without TKO, he would have 100% did it. So I don't know why you guys think that he wouldn't have, you know, went in y'all pockets too. I don't understand, like, what makes you think that he wouldn't do that? Like, that's crazy to me. You know what I mean? People are assuming how much better than it would be, and it wouldn't be any better. Matter of fact, he was the one that sold the company or pushed that whole narrative. I'm pretty sure his whole purpose was to make more money, which would have still led to the same, you know, increase in pricing. So that's with any business. If you start a business right now, you're going to want to make the most money you can make, because that's the purpose and function of a business, right? At the same time, you know, yeah, I hear everybody on the whole, oh, you know, caring about the customers and caring about the fans. But guess what? At some point, the fans going to need the money. They're going to have that money. That's like with Apple, right? Everybody's like, oh, I wouldn't spend $1,000 or $1,500 on a phone. I sure damn would. Hell, I got two iPhones sitting right here right now, and a MacBook. Why? And an Apple Watch. Why? Because I'm an Apple fan that has the money. I'm 100% gonna invest. I'm gonna do it, right? But it's not, everything is not for everybody, right? And that goes back to what I was saying earlier. It's levels to this, right? It's where you fall is where you fall. I mean, nobody's saying it's fair or it's not fair. Nobody wrote the rules, man. This is just how shit works. You know what I mean? And people are saying, oh, well, let's boycott it and let's do all this shit. Dude, if you think you're gonna boycott, at this point, a billion-dollar machine, like, I'm not even gonna call them a company. This is a machine. Like, you're delusional, bro. Like, you're delusional. You think that because you canceled your Peacock or whatever else you're talking about, you're gonna stop, or you're gonna stop watching. And then the thing is, what's funny to me is the people that say that shit, they don't even count, because most of them don't really invest shit already. Think about it. Like, most of them are streaming, like, the weekly shows, like the Raw, the SmackDown, the NXT, all of it, even the PLEs, they're streaming it illegally through websites, right? Which, that's not being accounted into the company's numbers anyway. They don't buy any merch, or if they do buy merch, it's very so often. They might buy, like, one t-shirt every 6 months or some shit like that, whatever, so who cares, whatever. Like, so what are you actually investing? Like, what are they actually losing by you saying, I'm gonna quit watching? Like, you don't even do anything. Like, you don't even account for the numbers. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what's so funny to me. Like, or maybe they went to, like, one, they went to, like, one Raw, like, 2 years ago in their city or some shit. Like, okay, like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not gonna put a dent in anything, right? And, you know, I don't wanna be an asshole and be like, you don't matter, but you kinda don't. Like, when it comes to the number, I mean, everybody as people matter. So I'm not on this show saying people don't matter. I don't, look, like, oh, Trell's an asshole saying people don't matter. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, like, when it comes to, like, the financial business numbers, you don't actually matter. Matter of fact, you don't even fucking exist. Like, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, you don't. Like, so that's crazy to me. Like, oh, I'm gonna, and even, like, oh, I'm gonna cancel my ESPN because WrestlePalooza sucked. Okay, so they're still gonna get their money. Like, it doesn't matter, right? You know, and again, I agree, WrestlePalooza did suck. But I think Crown Jewel is gonna be a banger of a show, which we spent enough time on this, but I wanna close out that topic by saying I still got nothing but love for MVP. Never had a problem with MVP, but I do have a problem with the shit he's been saying. And again, I'm gonna jump on his podcast and listen to what he has to say. You know, hell, you know what? If MVP wants to hop on my show and tell me what's up, somebody, you know, tag him on this, but I'm gonna tag him on the post. You know, I said with my chest, like, hey, I got no problem talking to MVP myself, you know what I mean? But I mean, that's that, man. But we could spend all night talking about this, man. Like, it seems like this same stupid ass topic takes up so much time on the show. And it's like, you know, but that's on me though. But tonight, Monday Night Raw, let's run through it real quick. What do we got, man? We got Cody Rhodes, right? Popping it off with Seth Rollins as expected. It was a hell of a promo, man, as usual.
I enjoyed that promo battle.
The back and forth, right? The yeah. Yeah.
Sure. So it was like, you know, hey, Seth was like, hey, you know, you're a quarterback and quarterback of this company and all this, and then the last line that Cody Rhodes told Seth Rollins was, you never beat me. So that,
yeah, and I think you got to look at the small details of storytelling, right? Which is why I love the way they do things. Because even if you fast forward to a little bit later on in the show, you see you have Becky Lynch and Seth in the locker room. And then Becky's going through her whole spiel about whatever. She's venting, basically. But Seth is just sitting there looking like he's in deep thought, almost like depressed. Like, you could tell that the words, yeah, you could tell that the words that Cody Rhodes said, you know, got to him, like got in his head. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm pretty sure, I mean, well, we don't know what's going to happen, but I will say my prediction is that that Seth Rollins, I don't know if he's going to do it cleanly, but Seth Rollins is going to walk out of Crown Jewel with the ring, with the, you know, with the belt, the ring or whatever, I say that because Cody Rhodes already won last year's event. So, I mean, but I could see them maybe putting two in a row on Cody Rhodes, or maybe, but I feel like they're going to elevate. Well, not that he needs elevating, but I think they're going to go ahead and let Seth Rollins get that crown jewel win there. Something else going to happen with that, but we'll see with that one. But that was a good one. But then watch your head on that, because now what's for sure is that Cody has gotten to the head of Seth Rollins with that comment. You know what I mean? So we're going to see where that leads storyline wise there. And then we go in, and then of course we get the your boys back on TV, man. The War Raiders, which I mean, yeah. I kind of forget they even work there, man. Like, you know what I mean? Some of these guys not getting used a lot, but it's good to see them getting on TV. And they got the tag up with Pentagon against Grayson Waller and the New Day. And thank God for the New Day. I'm loving the New Day, man. How you feel about those guys right now and what they're doing?
Well, first of all, as far as the War Raiders, yeah, I'm glad they getting some little TV time. Do they need more? Yeah. But yeah, the New Day, definitely funny. They've been really, you know, killing it on the scene. And those guys, you know, they professionals, and they've been in the company so long that they know how to bring your emotions up and bring them down and everything.
Yeah.
Especially with the heel run. So I'm really liking the heel run. Grayson Waller.
You know what? He looked good tonight, though. He looked good. I am kind of worried. I hope that, even though everybody, you know, we saw it being reposted everywhere. I don't know. I haven't been back on Instagram or to look or whatever. But hopefully he didn't get hurt tonight with that. But that was a crazy destroyer from the avalanche destroyer from the top or from the rope, man, by Pentagon. That was crazy finish. But to me, it was the way his head stuck up and he was kind of like, and then even after the match, he's kind of holding on to it. But again, like, I'm hoping that he was selling it. If that was a sell, it was a beautiful sell. But I'm pretty sure he was selling it. But there was a few people saying that maybe. But I'm pretty sure he's okay. I hope he's okay. But that was a crazy finish, man. A very dangerous, risky move. But a high payoff tonight on that one. Just off that one finish right there, to me, that was a highlight match of the night, right? And then we go into then another little Easter egg to me. Tonight was when we fast forward on to another promo, backstage promo. Cody Rhodes here involved again. You know, he rolls up on Jey Uso, who's hanging out in the you know, locker room, everything, right? You know, and obviously, you know, he's being classic Cody Rhodes, you know, going through his spiel with Jay. You know, he's like, you know, saying the, you know, encouraging words to Jay or whatever. But if you noticed, right, or if you guys didn't notice, you can hop on Netflix and go check it out or go back to that promo tonight if you missed it or wasn't paying attention. But Jey Uso was sitting there and Cody's talking. Jay's not saying shit, dude. And then on top of that, he's sitting there and he's staring down the belt. He's staring down that belt, man, the whole time that Cody's talking. He's looking like, you know, and then there was one point when, you know, Cody started saying things like, oh, I know what it's like. I've been to the top. You know, I remember I did all this. You know, pretty much it was like low key, kind of like, not like he was doing it on purpose, but kind of making it about himself and was like, oh, yeah, I've been to the top. I did all these things. And then Jay's like, oh, yeah, man, whatever. Like, you know, but then he's looking at the belt the whole time, right? And we're slowly seeing this transitioning phase of Jey Uso. Even though tonight what I noticed is that they're kind of teasing us a little bit back and forth because, you know, in the same breath when you saw those little tiny mannerisms from Jey Uso backstage, you fast forward to his match when he comes out. He's still coming out with the Eat glasses on. He's still coming out through the crowd. He's still tonight. He picked out the little kids out of the crowd to do the Eat with or whatever. So he's still doing like the baby face stuff. But then we're seeing, and then obviously tonight he wins his match off the interference of the Vision over LA Knight, leaves the ring. Then of course the Vision comes in to jump LA Knight. And Jimmy comes out, you know, and he's, you know, at the top of the ramp to meet Jey Uso. And he's like, hey, what are you doing? You're going to walk out and let these guys just jump this guy? You know, what are you doing? And then Jay's like, hey, man, you know, basically fuck those guys or whatever. I don't care. So then Jey goes to the locker room, you know, leaving Jimmy out there by himself. So now Jimmy takes it upon himself to grab a chair and go down there and fend off the rest of the Vision. And then, of course, and at that point, I mean, it was still like, well, I mean, it was those guys still out there. They could have probably still did some damage. But then Paul Heyman's like, because at that point you got like LA Knight, you know, still knocked out or still hurt on the ground or whatever. And then you got Jimmy in there by himself with a steel chair. So if those guys wanted to do something, they still could have. But then Paul Heyman, being the wise man that he is, you know, calls the dogs back and like, hey, let's get out of here. You know, we'll catch these guys later on another day, right? And so Jimmy basically saves LA Knight on his own there. So how do we feel about that? I feel like at some point, obviously, I think they're teasing us toward a slow burn here towards a maybe a Jey Uso heel turn or like a darker side here.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was like, okay, well, they're doing a heel turn with, now that could have went, that could have went either way, because I was like, okay, well, maybe Jey is getting ready to side with Paul Heyman's group. And then when Jimmy came in with the steel chair, I was like, oh, well, maybe he might, you know, side with Paul Heyman and then the group. I just think we're building, like, yeah, we're building towards a slow little heel turn. Because if you notice, Jey is, you know, he's not acting like himself. So he's,
yeah.
You know, he's telling him, you know, when he's ordering him, hey, you know, like you said, go get those guys or whatever. To help LA Knight out, he brushed him off. So yeah, we seeing little things, you know. He really wasn't interested in what Cody was really saying to him too much. So yeah, we starting to see that little heel turn. Now, where that heel turn is going to take place, who knows?
we'll see what happens. I don't think that he's gonna necessarily. He's interested. I don't think either one. Obviously, I don't think Jimmy's interested in joining the Vision. Neither one of them. I think that it's more of like a Roman Reigns type deal where he's starting to realize, like, because even when Roman came back, you know, when he talked to Jey, he was like, hey, man, you know, you got to take care of yourself. You got to step up. You got to stop worrying about these guys. You got to be make it about you. You know what I mean? Like type thing. And I think that he's starting to realize, hey, you know, Roman was right. Or even looking back at everything. That, hey, you know, I got to step up. I got to do this. I got to do that. I can't be worrying about everybody else. who ain't worrying about me or whatever the thing is. And so he's going into business for himself now. And I think that's what it is. I don't think that he's interested at all in joining the Vision, but he also is not interested in helping LA Knight, especially when him and LA Knight have their own history and misunderstandings that have happened, right? So I think that's also what's going on. But very interesting stuff going in as we get much closer here to Survivor Series, man. And I keep on bringing up Survivor Series because I feel like that's the pinnacle point. I feel like during the year, you have your pinnacle points of your storylines. You got your Royal Rumble season. You got your WrestleMania season. And right now, we're in the Survivor Series season. You know what I mean? Where at those events, you expect big moments, surprises, and things that turn the tide of the storylines into a whole nother year. So very interesting stuff. And even with Crown Jewel coming up, we may see some things go down at Crown Jewel, you know? So very, very interesting stuff there. We'll keep an eye on it. And just to quickly try to close it out here, but just to go back down. So then, of course, we have Bayley continuing her personality shift there with Lyra Valkyria. You know, we're going from Bayley, you know, being all, you know, hug Bayley, all nice, whatever, and even asking Lyra Valkyria to come to the ring with her tonight. And then, of course, flipping out on her and losing her shit and going to a different character. We'll see where that goes. Very interesting there. Not much to really talk about in that one. It's the same stuff as last week. She got the win over Roxanne Perez, and then she just went batshit crazy. So now we're waiting to see what the response from Lyra Valkyria will be on that one. Then you also had Dirty Dom. Dirty Dom, man, I feel like branching off slowly away from Judgment Day there. I feel like we'll see where that goes. So with the Judgment Day thing, is very interesting because you're starting to see where Dirty Dom is, you know, they're starting to look at maybe even getting a little bit jealous of Dirty Dom. You know, he's walking around the Intercontinental Champion. He's got the AAA title now. And, of course, especially Finn Balor and JD there feeling away. He's starting to use those guys to his advantage. We saw tonight that he threw JD McDonagh into the fire against Rusev, one-on-one match. Of course, Rusev, of course, we knew that JD wasn't going to do shit to Rusev, man, you know. So, like, of course, you know, JD gets a beatdown and then catches the accolade, which he taps out, right? But then after the match, Rusev has still got this submission, you know, locked in on JD. And, you know, Dirty Dom just standing there, man, like, oh, man, what the hell, you know what I mean? Like, and then, like, you know, or whatever. Then, of course, Finn Balor comes running out there to the rescue, hits Rusev with a big move or whatever, which to me, so here's why I feel like a little bit confusing, not confusing, but to me, it's like, okay, of course they announced for next week it's going to be Rusev versus Dirty Dom, right, for the Intercontinental title. But for the fact that Finn Balor ran out and he was the one that, you know, stopped Rusev, you got to think that, you know, Rusev has got a receipt coming for Finn Balor. So honestly, I feel like they could have saved the Rusev Dirty Dom match for like a Crown Jewel. And then instead they could have, I mean, that would have been a banger for next week. I would have took, you know, Finn Balor versus Rusev would have been a banger next week. That would have been a banger for a Monday night show. And then, you know, have Dom come in and do some more stuff next week. And then you finally give us the crescendo ending with the Rusev versus Dirty Dom at Crown Jewel in Australia. I think that would have been dope. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We don't see what happens with that as far as that go. Rusev definitely need a push coming up. We need some type of goal. I know he didn't come back to the company for, you know, come back for nothing.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to win the belt next week, though. I'm pretty sure it's going to be some Judgment Day interference or something else. They tie in with that. I think they're going to keep. I don't think that Dom drops the belt, at least not until Survivor Series or a little bit later. But we'll see. They could always have him lose and then maybe go do some more AAA stuff because they're using him to elevate that brand as well. And speaking of that, we see now I'm liking this shift with the Americanos, where now at first it was, you know, Chad Gable using the Americano character as like a disguise and like almost like a joke, right? But now it's turning into like a whole culture. We saw tonight a vignette about the Americanos, like pretty much acknowledging that they're like a whole cult of different people, right? So this opens up so much opportunity. Obviously, we know the main leader of the Americanos is Ludwig Kaiser, but then you have several other guys involved. So this opens the window up to introduce new characters that may later on be unmasked to be other guys, right? So I'm liking it, man. I'm liking it. I'm liking the fact that they're keeping, because I was kind of worried about that, because I personally am a huge fan of the whole Americano thing, even back when Chad Gable started it. But of course, Chad Gable out with injury, and then I felt like, oh, they're going to kind of scrap it and then go away from it. But I'm loving the fact that they're keeping up with this thing. And then, of course, you got AJ Styles and Dragon Lee all pissed off, and they requested a match from Adam Pearce next week against the Americanos. So that's going to be interesting, because Adam Pearce is like, well, I don't even know who they are. You know what I mean? Because it's like at least, what, like 4 or 5 of those dudes, you know what I mean? So that's crazy. So yeah, very interesting. I'm actually super excited for next week's Raw. Like, it's going to be really, really good next week. So that's cool. So we'll see what happens with that. And then, of course, then the biggest thing of the night that went down, we saw the main event where we had Asuka, one-on-one against Rhea Ripley. And as we know, this has been going on for weeks with the whole, I mean, I've been calling that. Anybody that actually watches the product could probably see a situation where Asuka was going to turn on Io Sky at some point. And then, of course, it happens tonight with, Asuka been playing both sides of the fence, trying to maintain her friendship with Rhea Ripley while also trying to keep things together and stay loyal to Asuka and Kairi Sane. And it's been that beef then with everybody. And then tonight it comes to a head where obviously Asuka, you know, pisses off Rhea Ripley. And Rhea Ripley's like, hey, now I'm going to get you in the ring tonight. And then you see Io Sky trying to stop the match from happening, which obviously the match still happens. So then after the match happens, Asuka hitting Rhea Ripley with the poison mist, which, dude, I'm a super, even since the days of Tajiri, or how you say his name, Tajiri, I've loved that whole poison mist thing, man. Like, and Asuka is just a pro at it. I mean, when she hits you with it, it looks like it's nasty stuff, man. It's all over your face. It's all over, you know. She had Rhea Ripley looking like one of the Smurfs tonight, man. You know what I mean? I love it, man. I love the effect that it gives off every time. Just want to put that out there. Shout out to Asuka for a great production with that one. But anyway, so, Rhea's selling the hell out of it. She's on the mat. Oh, she can't see anything. And she's still getting jumped now by Kairi Sane and Asuka. And then out runs Io Sky to save Rhea Ripley and to kind of, you know, break up the fight that's going on. And then what's, again, the small details and storytelling. Obviously, you know, Asuka ends up beating down Io Sky and Kairi Sane jumps in. But before that, it would appear as if Io Sky was successful in stopping this from happening. And Asuka, you know, gives her like a fake hug. But I wouldn't even say a fake hug. I feel like the hug was genuine. And the reason I say that is because it was almost like you could tell, if you go back and watch it, Asuka's reaction. You know, and when she gave her the hug, it was like she was saying her final goodbyes to a friend.
Right.
You know what I mean? You could tell, like, she really didn't want to do it, but realizes that, hey, you know what? I got to get rid of this chick. You know what I mean? Right. And so then she lets the hug go and hits the backhand, puts Io Sky down in dramatic fashion. And then, of course, there's Kairi Sane, who still doesn't want to hit Io, but then Asuka calls the order. And, you know, Kairi Sane goes ahead and follows through like a good soldier. And then there's the beatdown and the betrayal and the backstab there on Io Sky, which we all saw coming, which Rhea Ripley was warning Io Sky about in the first place. So interesting to see where they go with that one. Obviously, that's going to probably be leading to, I would assume that we get a tag team match at this point Maybe Crown Jewel, maybe we get a Rhea Ripley and Asuka versus the Kabuki Warriors there.
Yeah, I'm quite sure we're going to get that. It looks like they're setting up for that in Australia. So, yeah, it looks like you're going to get that down the line, too. So.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a good finish for the show. It was a good finish. So overall, it's time for me to give my grade for Raw tonight. Man, I have no reason not to give it an A, man. It was good. Storylines were good tonight. Yeah, man, it was popping tonight, man. It was really good. I got no beef. It was way better than last week. And next week, I think, yeah, next week I'm looking for an A-plus show with all the matches they have there lined up. Super excited for that one, man. And, yeah, so let's go back. Well, I'm not going to go back. I already answered one of the questions from the DMs that I had last night about the ticket, about the military ticket. So we already, and some of y'all have been sending me some crazy ass questions, man. Like somebody asked, like somebody literally sent me a message and was like, oh, can I get it? And this is what it said, like per quote. I'm not going to call the username out or anything, but per quote, it literally was like, can I get some money? That was literally the DM that I got. And I'm like, bro, whoever you are out there, because I think it might have been a fake page or like a burner account or whatever. Like, bro, I ain't got no money for you, bro. I ain't got no money for you. But yeah, yeah, that was funny as hell, man. Like, so shout out to whoever that was. Actually, one of the questions was, if I can remember, I don't have them in front of me, but somebody was like, oh, why don't you, you never review AEW? I do review AEW. And I will say that I do watch AEW. I watch Dynamite. I watch Collision. I watch the pay-per-views. I don't pay for the pay-per-views. I'm not paying. And again, I'm not paying y'all $40 for the pay-per-view. I stream. I'm not going to lie. Like, and that's a perfect example of what I was saying earlier about how big of a fan are you and how much are you willing to invest? Am I a super AEW fan? No. Am I going to pay $40? Could I pay? First of all, could I pay $40? Of course. Am I going to? Hell no. So I'm going to stream it. I'm going to stream it through the site, which is what I did. That's how I watched All Out or whatever, right? And I didn't watch the All Out main event because it went into it. It dove into that beginning of the WrestlePalooza. So obviously, I switched off to go to ESPN Unlimited to watch Brock and Cena. You know, so there you have it. But I did, now to be fair, when I was at my desk, when I was at work today, I did watch the main event, the Kyle Fletcher and Hangman today. It was very good, as expected. I mean, look, listen, AEW puts on great pay-per-views. And again, for the third time, because people are in my DM like, oh, why are you hating AEW? Nobody's a hater on AEW. It's just that AEW will never be WWE. And it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be, right? It's an alternate, you know, option for fans. Me, I'm a pro wrestling fan. I watch TNA. I watch NXT. I watch everything, right? So whatever. Like, I don't have, like, this concept of a wrestling war that's going on. I don't have that concept. Like, so let's start there. Like, so you do have those fans who are like, oh, it's AEW versus WWE. Like, no, like, I'm not that guy, right? So that's one thing. We're gonna get that out the way. So I don't have like this hate for AEW. I will say I'm not as invested into AEW as I am with WWE. Am I gonna do a pod on a Wednesday night? Am I gonna stay up this late? It is now 11 p.m. in LA. And it is like almost like what, like 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. on the East Coast. I'm probably not going to stay up this late. No, I'm definitely not going to stay up this late on a Wednesday night to review an episode of Dynamite. That's not going to happen. You know, now if something significant happens on Dynamite on our Friday pod, you know, yeah, like I'll mention it on the Friday pod or the Monday pod. But I'm probably not going to do a third pod per week for AEW. Like, I'm sorry.
Say this real fast on AEW. Like I said, it's just with the weekly shows, the storyline is just not there like WWE. That's the main key thing. They just sometimes they just like to throw matches in there. Sometimes just to kind of just throw them in there, and they really don't have no significance behind it.
Like, and then it's either inconsistent, or they do have their moments where they had something but you lost it. Like, perfect example, what I did catch at All Out was the return of Jack Perry, right? Perfect example, Jack Perry returns. Jack Perry returns, you know, goes after the Young Bucks for all the shit they had going on before he left or whatever the case was. Okay, cool, whatever. Okay, you bring back Killswitch. Okay, cool, whatever. But then you, for some reason, go back to the Jurassic Express vibes. I don't know if that was like a one-off just for nostalgia for the pay-per-view, and maybe they're like, but my thing is, but it's probably not, because when Killswitch showed up, he takes off the Killswitch, you know, little whatever weight belt thingy, whatever, and tosses that shit into the crowd, and then he's wearing the Luchasaurus mask, and maybe, you know, or whatever. So I would assume that they're like, we're gonna get like a more a modern, I guess, grown-up version, hopefully, of the Jurassic Express. Here's my thing. When that tag team first came out, when AEW was still building, like, that was great. Like, that was great for the times. You had, like, a baby-faced, clear, clean-cut Jack Perry. You know what I'm saying? He was wearing the jungle. I mean, you had Jungle Boy. You had Jungle Boy, Jack Perry. You know what I mean? Like, he was the Jungle Boy. Then you had the Luchasaurus, right? And then of course, that story ran its course, and then obviously he goes into that darker character, which I love the scapegoat character, actually. I'm a big fan of the scapegoat character. With that being said, why did you take him out of the scapegoat character? I'm assuming you're taking him out of the scapegoat character, and then you're moving him right back into the Jungle Boy character, which he doesn't need to be doing that. That's crazy to me. You know what I mean? Like, you know, to me, that's nuts, right? Even if you're going to put them back together, this is what I would have did, right? And I would have, okay, that's cool. You bring back scapegoat Jack Perry against the Young Bucks. No problem with that. No beef with that. But then you bring back Killswitch to join, you know, the scapegoat Jack Perry. So I would have kept both of these guys have been pushed to the next level. You now have scapegoat Jack Perry, and now you now have Killswitch, who was pushed and developed while he was with Tristan, you know what I mean? So that's cool. So I would have kept him as Killswitch, keep this guy as scapegoat, put them back together as like now this more advanced version of their older selves. And you still could have presented them as the scapegoat and Killswitch, and they still could have been the tag team, and they still could have been going after the Young Bucks. No problem with that. But to move them all the way, to me, it was a step back. And the development of their character, because now you're bringing them all the way back into this freaking Jurassic Express thing that we really don't need. Like, I mean, that was a cool moment for the fans that were there in attendance. You know, everybody's doing the old thing, the whatever dumbass thing they're doing, whatever, like, whatever. Like, that's cool, right? But for the long-term development of these characters, I just don't see where that's going. So I'm going to be extremely interested to tune in this week to Dynamite to see where they go with that one. Because I want to see, but I feel like that was a missed opportunity just to keep the scapegoat. And obviously, people are going to say, oh, well, those were heel characters. Right, but we've seen all the time heel characters still become faces and still maintain their identity. Like Rhea Ripley, you know, when she first went into that dark goth character, she was a heel with Judgment Day. But then she was easily flipped back to a babyface, and she's still the goth Rhea, but just a good version. So, you know, you don't have to change the entire character just to get that baby face going. So, I mean, hey, but hey, I don't like the shows at AEW. So, you know what I mean? So, I mean, hey, but I'm just like, that's an example of what I'm saying. But, yeah, man, you know, we've been on here for a long time, so I got to cut it. I still got to get to the gym, man. Yeah, we've already been on it. This has been like an hour pod tonight. We always lie to ourselves and everybody else, because we always say we're going to do a 30, 40-minute pod, and then we get like an hour, man. But we get some good content in there. Shout-out to everybody for joining tonight that joined in and listened in. You can, if you're late coming in, I always post the videos to my page, so all my episodes have started to populate there. And if you're, thanks to everybody also for listening in here on Spotify or wherever you may get your podcast. This podcast, Then now for the podcast, guys, for the, because folks been asking me how it works. So right now on IG Live, as soon as I end this video, it's going to go straight to the page. That's available right now. But tonight, or probably at this point, it's 11 p.m., so I'm probably going to take my ass to the gym and go to bed. But tomorrow, I'm going to edit this pod, and then it gets sent out to my distributing site that then sends it out to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all that good stuff. The Trail Count Podcast, I'm going to get that link in my bio for you guys as well, so you guys can make sure you get over there and subscribe and follow for new episodes. Obviously, it's going to be a much more edited version than what you get here on IG Live. You get the raw stuff here, and a little bit more stuff there where we kind of edit down over there. So, good stuff going. So yeah, that's it for tonight, man. Thank you again, everybody, for joining in. Thank you for Jules. You got the headphones in tonight. We're going to see how you sounded tonight, man. You know, Jules be having them issues over there with the audio, man. Yeah. So we're going to see. When I go to edit this bad boy tomorrow, we're going to see what happened with you. But thank you guys for listening in. Shout out to everybody and have a blessed night. And until the next time, which would be Friday night, we're going to come at you again for another episode. And I think we're going to be reviewing what we got coming up. We got the the TNA Victory Road. TNA Victory Road. I'm going to be busy that night. I will be double streaming both shows at the same time. Cause I'm an absolute crazy ass lunatic, but I'm going to actually be watching SmackDown Live and streaming TNA Victory Road at the same damn time. That's going to be fun. So we're going to be reviewing both of those for you guys, and of course more wrestling news on Friday night. So stick with us for that one. But once again, I'm going to check out of here. You guys stay blessed, stay safe, and don't do anything that I probably would do and out there in these streets. And Jules, you have a good night. Everybody else, we're out of here. Peace.